Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Inspiring Millions with Anjana. It was on December 10, 2021, when Satish and his friend Jay from South Africa tightened their shoelaces and got on the road in Bangalore by flogging, which means picking up trash while running. And the journey was etched in history. Running non-stop and clocking 160 kilometers in 27 hours from Whitefield to Puttaparthi is something that needs to be talked about and shared. My guest today is Satish Chandra, the ultra-marathoner who works for Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Bangalore. After running continuously, the duo reached Puttaparthi on December 11th. Satish has been spreading the concept of flogging, service to mankind, humanity and sustainability. Welcome, Satish.
Thank you very much, Anjana.
So, Satish, doing four complete marathons non-stop, no sleep or eating, to run continuously 160 kilometers from Whitefield to Puttaparthi for 27 hours continuously. How did you make this happen?
Yeah, it's, looking back, I had to literally pinch myself, think that we could accomplish such a thing. But yes, it was, I think a lot of planning had gone in and a lot of preparation had also gone in to make this possible, Anjana.
Okay. So when you were on the road on December 10th, interestingly, you along with Jay not only ran, but you also implemented the concept of flogging. First, tell us, how did you manage to do it? You know, running and picking up the trash. It's quite unimaginable.
Yes. So to be fair, you know, it was not practical to actually plog the entire distance because we didn't have a support vehicle all through. So what we did was to actually, when we started with plogging around the hospital campus where I work. So we did that for about 15-20 minutes and then we were formally flagged off to Puttaparthi.
Okay.
So. And then the plan was on the other end, after we reach Puttaparthi, we would be plogging inside the hospital premises. So technically, it was not plogging the entire route because of the logistics involved.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I don't think if we had really done the plogging, we would have reached Puttaparthi even today.
Okay. That much of trash you would have seen along the way.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And when did you decide to run and what was the purpose?
Yeah, so I think this was, actually at least 2 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay and I had been, running various distances.
Right, okay.
And it was a chance that we actually got together and we discovered that, both of us had been wanting to do a long run. And, Puttaparthi is a place both of us have some affiliation to.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, why not we do a long run to Puttaparthi? So that was before we actually thought of doing it as a plog run.
Mm-hmm.
So this was about 2 years ago when we had both, happened to meet through another common friend.
Right.
And I think it was, 1 year we lost due to the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then during the course of 2021, we did, want to do this run, towards the end of the year when the climate also would be relatively more pleasant compared to, doing it during the summer months. And that was when the pandemic was, going through the second wave and it was pretty, a difficult time for everybody, right? So I think we luckily got, it worked out the way it worked out that we got the slot, we thought we will do it towards November, end of November actually. But then there were incessant rains the day we had planned and so we had to postpone it. But we knew that we wouldn't want to postpone it, beyond a certain this thing. Otherwise, we'll lose all the momentum,
yeah,
the preparation that we had done.
Mm-hmm.
So we had kind of, randomly picked a weekend, basically, starting on Friday morning and the plan of reaching Puttaparthi the next, next day.
Okay.
So that is how it happened. And the cause behind it, sustainability has always been something quite close to my heart. And you know, previously I had done a few trips to Puttaparthi by bicycle. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to see whether we could do it on foot, you know, on our own steam. So that is, and then, you know.
So that was kind of a challenge to yourself as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was also like an offering to Baba on his birthday, which was in, you know, on November 23rd. Because we had, like I said, we had planned it to do it around November 19th or so, but, you know, due to the rains, we couldn't execute it then. But we did it, you know, 2-3 weeks later. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So Satish, for how long have you been running, you know, or when did you first start your running journey?
I would say I would have started, you know, like dabbling in running maybe about 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
That was, so prior to that, I mean, as a child also, I've always, thanks to my parents, especially my father's influence, I've always been playing some kind of a sport or the other.
Okay.
In my school days and college.
So you have always been a sporty person.
I would imagine so. Yeah, and more so in, you know, like these solo games, mostly racket games. I was basically playing badminton and later tennis.
Okay.
And after I joined the hospital where I'm continuing to work now, I joined this hospital in 2000. So I had, you know, developed an interest in cycling and, you know, doing some solo cycling trips across Karnataka, you know, south of India and things like that. And then, but that used to, you know, kind of take some time and, you know, there was no consistency in that. So I think somewhere around 2012-13 is when I got into a regular habit of running and, you know, the... That's when I could say the running bug bit me.
Okay.
And so that's when I started running.
You have been continuing.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, once the bug bits you, bug bites you, it's always, you know, you try to...
It's very infectious, I guess.
It is. And you know, you kind of always want to stretch the distance that you can run and things like that.
Yes. So Satish, like, what precautionary measures did you take, you know, to avoid any untoward incidents from happening during this 160 while covering 160 kilometers?
Yeah, that's I think of course, I mean, apart from the basic things like, you know, we were always carrying some kind of nutrition and hydration with us, some energy bars and chickies and water with us. For almost 100 kilometers, we were basically on our own.
Okay.
And then we had my colleague from the Whitefield Hospital and from later from Puttaparthi as well. You know, we had a car support.
Okay.
So it was a welcome break for us, you know, so that kind of, they provided some of the nutrition that we needed and my wife had packed breakfast and lunch as well.
So credit goes to your wife also.
Absolutely, absolutely. And she's a dietitian.
Okay.
And I think all along in my running journey, she's been one, you know, solid support for me, taking care of my son and allowing me to, you know, do this to keep my sanity.
That's nice.
So apart from that, of course, we had reflective vests we were wearing because we were running through the night.
Correct.
And we had headlights. And we were running, you know, on the wrong side of the road so that we can see the oncoming traffic.
Okay.
And, you know, these were a few of the precautions which we had taken. Yeah.
Oh, so that means you were running on the wrong side.
That's right.
Okay, interesting.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So, you know, as you said that you were running throughout the night as well. And, you know, I'm sure, I mean, being the highway, you imagine the pollution level, traffic and speeding vehicles and all. You know, did you ever think at that time that, no, I need to back out from here. I can't do it.
Yes, I actually, you know, did, you were absolutely right. There were moments at night, you know, when it actually started drizzling a little bit, and it was a lot of, you know, like the headlights from the oncoming traffic, you know, it used to literally blind us. And,
correct.
You know, and after a while, it gets so very lonely, you know, even though you are with another person. And yeah, and possibly around, I think, around 1 a.m. or so, I really felt, you know, we should kind of give it up, or at least, you know, because the body also had, you know, kind of...
We feel tired by
and
then.
Zapped by then. And, you know, I was actually on the on a call with my friend from Puttaparthi, who's, you know, kind of reaching the place where he would be meeting us and from there on, like, offer us some support. So I was even telling my friend that, you know, why not we take a break and, you know, get off the highway, at least, like, travel by car for a certain distance.
Easy way.
Yeah, absolutely. And but you know, credit really goes to Jay that he was the one who said, look, you know, this is what we wanted to accomplish, so let's, you know, get on and do it, right? And it was not that, you know, I was injured or, you know, I had some medical emergency. It was not that kind of thing. It was purely, you know, mind games at that time.
Right? Mind games.
So I think too, that is where having a company of a person who has got a stronger mind than yours, it definitely helps, you know, to kind of sail through these kind of moments. And that was, so that was one moment when I felt, you know, I could have let the ball, you know, roll. But yeah, thanks to Jay, we were able to, you know, accomplish it without, you know, taking any shortcut.
Correct. So you need for anything in life, actually, any tough situations that come across our lives, you know, you need to be mentally strong. And how every time it's not possible to be, you know, mentally strong. I mean, such as in your case. But then there was somebody else who was morally supporting you. Come on, let's do it. You know, this is what we have to accomplish. And that itself, it helped you a lot.
Absolutely.
So to cover 160 kilometers, you need a lot of endurance and willpower, and not to mention about the stamina. How did you work on these three main aspects before taking the first step? I'm sure you must have gone through, you know, you must have done a lot of research work and, you know, kind of built your stamina.
Right. Yeah. So that's true, Anjana. And so actually what both Jay and I had done is we had signed up for a couple of races prior to this, at least about, you know, 3 months prior and about 5 months prior.
Okay.
Both of us had done, you know, longer races. Like, for example, I had done my first 12-hour run in a stadium. Okay, so where I had run continuously from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Okay.
And in a stadium, around a 400-meter track.
Oh, in a stadium?
Continuously, right.
Okay, continuously.
So that hours. I was able to, you know, cover close to a distance of 90 kilometers within the 12 hours. And that was one event. And there was also another event where I had run 161 kilometers in a ultra marathon, which was conducted close to, you know, where I live. It's called the Hennur Bamboo Ultra Marathon. So that, so Jay, on, you know, part of his training, he had done a 24-hour run, you know, a stadium run, and he had run 100 kilometers during this bamboo ultra marathon, and in which, you know, he actually won the first place for men. So
you continuously, I'm just stopping you there. So you continuously run inside the stadium non-stop.
Right. I mean, you are free to take breaks for, you know, hydration, for bio breaks, for food, etc. But yeah, the idea is to check, you know, it's like the stadium runs basically are to see, you know, like provide you a controlled environment to see how how long you can run.
Correct.
So it's a good environment to kind of practice. And so that was our idea as well, to kind of check ourselves and see how we, perform in these kind of situations. So I think those two events gave us good confidence to attempt this run to Puttaparthi.
Okay. And, coming to this, your run, what did you do to take rest or bio breaks, refreshment breaks, especially at night?
Yeah, so thankfully, the route that we were on, it's basically the Hyderabad highway.
Correct.
So we had adequate hotels and stuff like that along the way. So we used to take breaks for either have some tea or even lunch or dinner, whatever we wanted to have. We kept it light because we obviously it's difficult to run after a heavy meal and things. So that was how we had planned. I mean, it's not a very deserted
route.
Yeah. Excepting the last when you get off the highway and the last 40 kilometers is difficult, it's kind of isolated stretch, but there we had my both my friends for company.
Okay. So how long did it take to plan this arduous journey without sleeping?
I think the planning per se, on and off, Jay used to talk about it, what we would do. And I think from the beginning, we didn't want it to be a very, we didn't prefer to have crew vehicle with a lot of people and stuff like that. We wanted to, purposefully keep it very small and simple. So overall, I would say the planning did not take, too much of our time. Maybe we would have planned it like about 1.5 months to 2 months prior. And because we were keeping it simple and we thought we will, carry most of the hydration and stuff ourselves, or, we will get some food along the way, because that's the prime thing,
exactly.
As we are running. The water and food is the main requirement.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So what is the message that you want to convey to everyone?
So Anjana, one of the things I have been doing as a purchase manager in the hospital is on the about sustainability, which we spoke about, right? So I'm responsible not only for the procurement of equipment and stuff that is needed to provide healthcare, but I'm also responsible for disposal of the waste that the hospital generates.
Correct.
So this is the thing which actually drew me into the concept of sustainability. And so while I work in a hospital which provides free healthcare, there is an environmental cost that is still paid. So my intention has been to look at how, as a hospital, we can reduce or minimize the waste that we generate while treating patients, while providing high quality healthcare. So
can you just give us one example, like recently what you have done for sustainability?
Right. So what we what I specifically do in the hospital is, I try and see how much of waste that we generate we are able to recycle. Okay. And as you may be aware, this is a trust run hospital where the treatment is provided totally on donations that we receive.
Correct.
So in the, just to give you an example, in the last 6 months or so, we have been able to recycle over 20 tons of waste. 20 tons of waste. And it has been translated into, a certain amount of wealth as well, which has, come back to the trust and which will be used to provide free treatment for more such patients.
Okay.
So what my message is to, actually see how we can extend the you know, the value of the donations that mm-hmm. are received by the trust. You know, so basically nothing should, you know, go waste, or rather we should convert the wealth, you know, waste into wealth.
Correct.
You know, and flow it back into the system.
Correct.
So typically if you come to the hospital where I work, you would see in the stores we have set up bins where, you know, all kinds of waste are received, the dry recyclables are segregated, and then these are sold to authorized recyclers.
Okay.
So this is how we've been doing it for the past, I think, close to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, from a personal standpoint also, I have, you know, kind of tried to see how not to leave anything outside my door when I, you know, like all the waste that I generate at home, like mm-hmm. if it is kitchen waste, I've set up a composting, you know, unit outside my home. And then if it is dry recyclable waste, I take it to the hospital where I work and, you know, segregate them into the bins, etc. So I think, you know, as we are all become, you know, humans, we've all kind of evolved to rely so much on conveniences, right?
Correct.
But all the conveniences also, you know, result in a lot of waste.
Waste,
so
exactly.
It is my message to everybody to see how we can, you know, minimize our waste through simple measures like, you know, taking out, carrying with you your own containers when you go out to eat food, or, you know, like, anything. I mean, so, carrying your own reusable bags.
Nice.
Walking more, using you know, lesser petrol vehicles.
Petrol.
Yeah, these are the messages I would like to leave you know, your audience with.
Okay. And Satish, I also wanted to check, you know, when you are talking about sustainability in healthcare, you know, in healthcare sector or in any sectors, you get a lot of packaging, right? Packages, all your equipment, your medicines, and all—they're all packed in plastics.
True.
So how do you control that, or how do you manage that waste?
Yeah. So you know, thankfully, in the medical industry, a lot of the plastics which are used are actually the higher grades of plastic, which mm-hmm. can be very well recycled.
Okay.
And there are also the, you know, the low value plastics which cannot be recycled. So it's very important that we try and, you know, segregate those at the source and ensure that the recyclable plastics, you know, find the, you know, are recycled. And also in the hospital, what we try and do is to do as much of bulk purchasing as possible. You know, so that we don't, mm-hmm. Like for example, a hand rub, which can come in 500 ml bottles. Mm-hmm. We, you know, specifically order in 5 liter packs, you know, and then we refill mm-hmm. the existing bottles with mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
And it's again, it's a little extra work, but then it's worth it, you know, keeping in mind the amount of plastic that, you know, all the 500 ml bottles would generate.
Yeah, correct. Thanks for sharing this wonderful, you know, wonderful knowledge, Satish, about the sustainability and how healthcare can get into sustainability as well. Just as, although it is just a sneak peek, maybe afterwards we can talk about that in detail.
Sure, definitely, anytime.
And so you have done quite a lot of marathons in the past, and you are an ultra marathon runner, as I mentioned earlier. Do you think that this 160 kilometers non-stop run is the ultimate for you, or do you have something in the pipeline?
Yeah, so we, both Jay and I, want to make this an, you know, event that we do every year. Okay, so this year, again in December, we are planning to run back from Puttaparthi to Bangalore.
Okay,
so this is again scheduled around December 10th or so.
Mm-hmm.
So this, we want to make it a regular, you know, feature, an annual event where, you know, we use this as an opportunity to, again, talk more about sustainability and recycling and, you know, minimizing our waste and things like that. So I think that is my, this is a desire that this is something which all of Baba's institutions take up. And not just Baba's institutions, we want to be a role model where you know others can also like we should become worthy of emulation
Correct.
By the rest of the world.
Correct. Yes, got it. So Satish, last but not the least, you are an active run streak, which means that you run every day without fail. Do you have a set goal to achieve?
Yeah, I think my goal basically is to be healthy enough, you know, till the last day of my, you know, life on earth. So what I aim to do is to basically be able to, you know, age in a healthy manner.
Age in a healthy way.
Healthy, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I've been running now for the past 5 years. I just completed 5 years of running daily, and I've covered more than close to 15,000 kilometers during this period.
That's quite a feat. It's quite an achievement, actually.
Right, yeah. I mean, there are people who've been running for like 30 plus years, you know, every day, you know, just showing up and running. So I think it's somewhere down the line, I think running has become part of who I am. So that's something I look forward to doing every day.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So Satish, while talking about running, you know, so if you, by chance, if you have to miss or if you miss, you know, how do you compensate that? Like for instance, for example, tomorrow you may not be able to run, maybe because of due to heavy rainfall.
There's no such thing as missing a run, because even if there's a heavy rainfall,
you know, go out.
I go out if needed. I take an umbrella, but otherwise, I love, you know, running in the rain as well. I mean, it might not be an extra long run, but I will, you know, definitely get my run in.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times when I had to, you know, catch a flight at 6 in the morning. So I've gotten up and run at like 2:30 or 3 in the morning as well. That's how I'm kind of, you know, warmed up to be. But I mean, in a good way, I would imagine. Yeah.
That's great. Actually, even my grandfather, who passed away when he was 96.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a big time walker. So every day he used to cover around 16 kilometers.
Wow.
8 kilometers in the morning, 8 in the evening. So that's why I asked you this question, because the day he wouldn't go, I mean, that would be rare. I mean, that was a rare thing in his life.
I see. That's
so
amazing.
So he didn't have any kind of disease till he was 96, except for a little bit of gout here and there. Otherwise, he was never hospitalized.
Excellent. Now, in fact, that, you know, brings me to another pet project that I have of, you know, especially being working in a hospital. I would love to, you know, like live life, I mean, have everyone live a life such a way that you never visit a hospital.
Correct.
So preventive health is, you know, another, you know, pet vision that I have for the entire world. Because I think the moment you actually take more, you know, active steps towards preventing, you know, falling ill, right? That itself has such a, you know, benefit on your own self and also on the healthcare system as a whole.
Correct. Yeah, both are interrelated.
Absolutely.
If you see it from. So thank you, Satish, for being my guest and wishing you many more successes.
Thank you so much, Anjana, for this opportunity.
Thank you. Runners have touted the great feeling resulting in what many call a natural high. Running and other forms of vigorous exercise provide several physical and mental health benefits. So if you haven't ticked your yearly resolution, then why not start now? It's never too late. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I'm sure this episode has been informative and inspiring one. This is your Sochcast, and thank you for listening to Inspiring Millions with Anjana. We'll be back with another inspiring and extraordinary story of a person who has touched many lives. Till then, stay tuned and stay healthy. Thank you.